Father Francis hit the 100,000 mile mark cycling in June. Yes. And then I smashed my big toe with a 12-pound sledgehammer early August. But I'm back on the saddle. I bicycled this morning, to get to class on time. Also, at our Abbey, good things happening. We have three new priests, right? And one new deacon. 35 seminarians. Three of those seminarians are from our parish. One that entered, 2-3 years ago, Richard Sullivan, he's now Frater Jude. Frater means brother in Latin. And he was one of seven seminarians that made simple vows. What does that mean? We take vows of poverty, celibacy, obedience. Okay, so that's one reason why I bicycle as much as possible instead of using a car. Okay, so he and those other six made vows for 3 years. For 3 years, they're going to live poverty, celibacy, obedience in our abbey. Okay? And then after 3 years, they can either leave or renew their vows, or they make solemn vows. And once you make solemn vows, that's like marriage. Huh? That's for life. All right? So he's one of seven. And then two others just entered the end of August. There were six of them that entered. Okay, so you may know the Kobo family, Gregory Kobo. And then there was a family that used to be in our parish, the Inmans, and then they moved to Pasadena, and now they're out in Texas. Okay, all three of those seminarians from our parish, they were in this class. Okay, so I'm really pleased with that, and they're doing well, from what I know. Okay, so that's what's going on with our seminarians. We have a new prior. This is wonderful. I really like him. I like what he's doing. His name is Father Chrysostom. That's a hard one to say, huh? We studied about St. Chrysostom last year. All right. And then I was here at the parish over the summer. I have a lot of plants in my room. There's a priest in our community that's really good with plants, much better than me. Okay, I pretty much just water them. Well, he fertilized and trimmed and sprayed and rearranged. My plants have never looked so good. I have the different kinds of plants, but one of them is this one pot with about 10, 12 philodendrons, and they're taking up half of my room. They're growing around the walls, okay? So my room is slowly turning into a jungle. So I'm grateful for him doing that. We have Norbertine nuns in Tehachapi. I forgot how many there are. There's like 45 of them, okay? And this Saturday, four of them are making their solemn vows, okay? And then a few years ago, we started a community of Norbertine sisters in Wilmington. That's between San Pedro and Long Beach. And I think there is nine of them at various stages. It's a brand new community. Okay. So these are the first Norbertine nuns and the first Norbertine sisters in the United States. Okay. And they're right here in Southern California. Okay, so the nuns, they just stay in the monastery. All right? And then the sisters will be more active. They'll do parish work, teaching. It's not quite clear yet what they're going to do, but it sounds like some of them will be helping out at one of our parishes next year. They're at our parish at Saints Peter and Paul in Wilmington, just across the street from the church. Some of them may be helping out at St. John the Baptist next year. We have a school there. It's a big parish. It's in Costa Mesa. Okay, so those are two parishes that we Norbertines staff. Those are our parishes, okay? So one in LA, one in Orange County. Okay, so that's what's going on with the Norbertines. What's going on here at the parish? Father Marks was on his home visit in Texas all of July. He came back, and twice now he's been in the hospital. He should be out in a few days, okay? I think he'll be fine as long as he keeps his leg up, his right leg, okay? But if he gets too active, that's when he gets problems, okay? So I was here at the parish two-thirds of the summer. Between June, July, August, I've been here for a total of 2 months, all right? I love it. I love being here. And I have a new assignment, in case you don't know. As of this month, Father Francis will be here helping at this parish, San Secundo, 4 days a week. And those 4 days will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Here's how it works. Thursday, I'll be teaching in the morning, and then sacraments in the evening for about 2.5 to 4.5 hours. And then on Friday, I visit the sick. That's over 100 miles driving all over the place, okay? So that takes all day. There's no way you can get a hold of me. So that's Friday. Sometimes that goes for like 12 hours, all right? And I do the 6:30 morning mass on top of it. Saturday, I'll be available for counseling, but only if you've made an appointment. You have to call in advance, get a hold of me. We set up a time for you to either come here or to talk on the phone. All right? You don't have to necessarily see me or me see you. We can do it over the phone. But by appointment. Okay, so think ahead. Just don't show up and expect me to be there. All right. So that's Saturday. That's the only day of those 4 days. Maybe a little bit on Thursday that we could have some counseling, confession, something like that. Yeah. Saturday, forget it. Okay, I'm in the church. And for some years now, I've been in the church most of the day. My record was, I think, 2 Sundays ago. I was nonstop doing sacraments for 12 hours straight. No food, no drink, no nothing. It is nonstop sacraments, okay? That's not going to happen now with this new schedule. I'm going to go back to what it was when I first came here. I won't be here all day Sunday, all right? I'll be here from 7 in the morning until 12 noon. And at 12 noon, I have to stop hearing confessions. You may say, but I really got to go, No, there should be a priest at 12 noon to hear confessions. If there's no priest hearing confessions, it's not my fault. It's the priest who didn't show up on time. But generally, the priests that are here, they're not late. If anything, they come early, right, for confessions. That's the spirit of this parish, huh? We do more instead of less. Okay, we're for you. We're not for ourselves. All right. So at 12 noon, I will walk out of the confessional. I will go to my room and change, and I will bicycle out of the parish to the abbey. I have to be back at a specific time. Okay. So don't be having long conversations with me when you see me on the bike. Just a quick hi, you know, hi, bye, and off I go. All right. So that's my schedule for this year, unless something changes. Next week, I'll be here Tuesday through Sunday because the priests won't be here. There's a diocesan convocation. All the priests that live in this diocese will be going, I don't know where, you know, but they won't be in their parishes. This will be one of the few parishes in the whole San Bernardino diocese that will have daily masses, confessions. Three masses, and then a half hour confessions before mass. I mean, that's just unheard of during a convocation week in this diocese. Okay, so this parish is blessed. I'll be here for that. That's it. All right. Any questions about announcements that have nothing to do with class? That have nothing to do with this class? All right. At this time, I'm going to pass out one sheet of paper with Father Francis' handwriting on both sides. One per family. So how about the oldest student in each family stand up? And just stay in your place. Why don't you pass these out to every student that's standing. And then the leftover ones bring up here. We're going to spend the rest of the class explaining this. What's going to be happening this semester. Don't worry about next semester. I'll have a handout for the second semester when we get to it. Okay, so once you get your paper, just sit down. Yes? Don't worry about it. Your mom can read it. So every family has one, right? Every family has one. Good. It's good to see all you parents in here. I love seeing parents in the classroom. So we're going to go through this handout, starting at the beginning and ending at the end, okay? You didn't get one? Pay attention, okay? Okay, this is week one. There's going to be 15 weeks this semester. 15 weeks. This is the Father Francis Religion Class 2017-2018. It's on one word. It's going to take a whole year to begin to understand this word. We're not even going to talk about this word the first semester, okay? The word is forgiveness. And I'll tell you the beginning of the second semester why I chose this topic. But for now, we're not even going to focus on forgiveness. We have something that you first have to understand before you can even understand forgiveness. All right? It's just like baptism. Before you can understand baptism, you have to understand something bigger. You have to understand sacraments. If you don't understand sacraments, don't even bother trying to learn about baptism. Okay? Learn about sacraments in general, and then you can look at a specific sacrament. How is this sacrament different than the others? What's specific about this? Okay? So, this first semester, we're going to focus on mercy. There's many works of mercy. You've heard of the corporal works of mercy, spiritual works of mercy. I'm going to talk about other kinds of works of mercy. One of those is forgiveness. Okay, so before we even focus on forgiveness, we're going to spend a whole semester beginning to understand mercy. And mercy has to do with God, and God is a mystery, so mercy is a mystery. And there's no way we can understand a mystery in our dinky little minds. Only God can understand mysteries, okay? But we'll get a basic understanding. You'll have a better understanding than 99.9% of the population in the world regarding mercy. Okay? So, podcast. Right now it's down because the family that was in charge of that is in the process of moving. Okay, so they can't be working on this podcast. They've been doing this for years. And so, people who are coming to this class were asked if one of them could, you know, take over and continue the podcast. We need the podcast more than ever. Last year I was getting 21,000 hits a month, but this year it's probably going to be a lot more. You're going to need the podcast to review the class, because you're going to be telling me what you learned from last week. It's going to be different than any class we've had before. Instead of telling me what you learned for this week, you're going to be telling me what you learned last week. What did you hear in class that you learned? You might want to go back and listen to the podcast again, or at least some part of it. Okay, so even if you are in this class, it's going to be a big help to have the podcast. All right. Now, the coordinator for our class is Mrs. Jennifer Therian. She's in the back, and she's going to say a few words to us at this time. Yeah, if you're going to be coming every week, you're a prime suspect to record. You know, just come up with the thing up here and turn it on, and then at the end, turn it off. Okay. Also, for whoever is going to be in charge of the podcast, to take a picture, you don't have to do that today. I don't have anything to put on the board today, but generally I'll be writing on the board. You want to have a picture of that board, okay? You may not be able to write down all the notes on the board. You want a picture of it. You'll get that on the podcast unless you take your own picture. You can do that too. To take a picture of the board, because you're not going to have time to write down a lot of this stuff on the board. You'll be taking notes, writing down what's not on the board. writing down what I'm saying to help better understand what's on the board. Okay. All right, so that's the coordinator. Yikes. To get an A in the class, there is... three parts to getting an A, all right? Number one, 1/3 of your grade is to do the homework, okay? Go back, listen to the podcast, go over your notes, maybe as a family or part of a family to review together. What did you hear? What did you hear? What did you write? What did you write? Pool your resources or just study on your own on listening to the podcast. What did you learn? And then when we come to class, you tell me what you learned from that last week. You see? Tell me what you learned from last week's class. So, I'm going to tell you right now what your homework is. It's on the bottom of this page. The definition of mercy. I want all my students to know this definition for the test. Okay? So, this is your homework assignment for the coming week. Tell me the definition of mercy. It's going to take a whole semester to begin to understand this definition. And even if you understand the definition well, that's not enough to know mercy. You also have to experience it and express it to really know it. All right? So you're going to get the knowledge up here, and that will help you to better recognize mercy when it's coming at you, and to better know how to express mercy to others. Okay, to experience it, to express it. That's when you really know mercy. Okay, but this class is for up here. You're going to be graded not on how much you experience it, how much you express it, okay? You'll be judged, graded according to what you know up here about mercy this first semester. So your homework assignment, memorize this definition. You don't have to understand a word of it. Just say it like a robot, okay? We have a whole semester to begin to understand this definition. Okay, the whole semester is summarized right here. Okay, that's your homework assignment. If you're 12 years old and younger, half hour for homework. If you're over 12, if you're 13 years old on up, that's an hour of studying. Okay. If you can memorize this in 10 minutes, you've done your homework, okay? All right? You might have it pretty easy, some of you, for this week's homework. Now, it's okay if you don't quite get the whole definition now for next week, okay? You're just beginning. But for the exam, at the end of this semester, the first thing you're going to say, every one of you, is this definition. And I want you to say it as if you've known it all your life. I want you to say it as easily as breathing. You don't have to think it when you say it. It's second nature. You said it hundreds of times. You said it to yourself every week, maybe a few times a week, okay? So by the end of this semester, you're ready to say it quickly, enjoyably, easily, and it's something that will stay with you forever. Okay, this is the definition you want to know for the rest of your life. And you have a whole semester to start practicing. Okay, this is the one time where this is going to be your homework. Right. So that's one third of your grade. Do the homework. If you miss a week, you can make it up some other time. Father, I did the homework for the past 2 weeks. You know, if you did. Right. The second thing, you have to participate in class. That's one-third of your grade. So if you do super duper in your homework and your oral exam, that's still 66% of your grade. 3.3. Okay, so you're going to have to do more than that. You're going to have to participate. You got to speak out. Okay? It's okay to make mistakes as long as you don't do that for your exam. By the time you take the test, you should know this stuff. You should know it clearly and not have to ask any questions or, you know, I'm confused, I don't quite get this. No, just tell me what you learned this semester. Okay? So in class, we're working towards the answer. It's messy. We make mistakes. So what? It's part of life. All right? Just don't do it for the exam. All right? So speak out in class. And when you tell me your homework assignment this year, don't go on and on and on. I just want to hear short answers from a lot of students. Okay? I know some of you would like to go on for 20 minutes and just tell me a long story, but just tell me something you learned. Just tell me something, okay? For those of you who are learning a lot, tell me what was most striking to you, okay? Of all the things you learned, tell me what was the most meaningful for you. You could do that. Or tell me something that no one else has said. You could do that too. All right. Okay, so participate in class. And then the oral exam, it's the toughest exam there is. It's a joke to, you know, do these written exams where you can guess, true, false. You got a 50-50 chance. Multiple choice, that's a little harder, but generally some of those answers are just, they can't possibly be right. So it just comes down to two or three that are challenging. Okay, which one of those two or three is it? Okay, but oral exam, you really gotta know it. You gotta practice it over and over and over and over and over and over. Right, so you have a whole semester to start preparing. What did I learn this semester? You could zero in on a few weeks. You could take a little something from each semester, from each week. It's up to you. You got a handout for this week. You'll get a handout the beginning of the second semester. That's all the handouts you get. Okay. So again, I say, you know, take a picture of the board, look at the podcast, but I'm not going to be giving out handouts. Okay, when do we not have class? Obviously, Thanksgiving Day, that's a Thursday, no Thanksgiving. So that's one. And then 2 weeks off for Christmas. Our exam will be December 21st. That's a few days before Christmas. December 21st will be our last day of class, it's the oral exam, then you have 2 weeks to recuperate. 2 weeks of not thinking about the class, do fun things, you know. If you are really super serious, you could start researching forgiveness, see what you find. All right, but I'm doing most of the work for you. So we won't have class December 28th. We will not have class January 4th. Okay, so class will begin January 11th for the second semester. And then there's no class during Holy Week and no class during Easter Week. I'll be here at the parish a good part of the time. So you got a break. You get a break during the second semester. That's a longer semester. That's not 15 weeks like this first semester. The second semester is 19 weeks. Okay, so it's good that we're having this break, a two-week break. Okay, here's the definition of... Okay, so there's no class 5 Thursdays of the 34 weeks of class. 15 the first semester, 19 the second, that's 34 weeks. So there's 5 other Thursdays we will not have class. Okay, the definition of mercy. It's love. If you want, you can say charity, but it's more inclusive to say love. I'll explain that later. Love bending down or stooping down to one in misery, to someone in misery, someone who's suffering. And to do that with compassion. It's that kind of a love. It's a compassionate love. Okay, so that's the first part. It's love bending down to one in misery with compassion and helping that person, him, her, out of his, her misery, suffering. Okay, that's the definition. Okay, if you want to say helping her out of her misery, you could do that. Okay, it's up to you. Okay, let's turn to the other side. Any questions on the first side? Any questions? Okay. Second side. First semester on mercy. Today's class, we have the overview. The second week, it's going to be a little bit about mercy in the Old Testament. More facts, figures, rather than stories. But one of the biggest discoveries was all excited about is week number 2. Okay? The most important thing to learn is the definition, but I would say the second week will probably be the second most important thing to learn. What I'm going to say about these languages, it's huge. Okay? It's how we got the definition of mercy. Okay? It's huge. And then week 3, mercy according to the Gospel of St. Luke. His is the Gospel of Mercy. We're not going to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, except just, you know, quickly, each of those other three. Compare, okay, but we're going to zero in on St. Luke. Not so much the Acts of the Apostles, but his gospel account. Okay. Week 4, mercy according to St. Paul. Many times he mentions mercy in his letters. And he experienced mercy in the Acts of the Apostles. That's Acts chapter 9, the conversion of St. Paul. He has this powerful experience of God's mercy. Okay, so he thinks in terms of mercy. And he was influential in the life of St. Luke. St. Luke accompanied him. Okay, so this is why St. Luke has such a focus on mercy. All right, so those are the two key places we're going to look at in the New Testament regarding mercy. We can't cover it all. We can't do it all. Okay, so 2 weeks on the New Testament. And then week 5 will be tradition. Past 2,000 years, what has the church said about tradition? In her saints, what has the church said about mercy? In her saints, theologians, the catechism, encyclicals, what are key sources you can go to read on your own about mercy? That could be your exam. You know, what does Pope John Paul II say about mercy in his encyclical letter? Okay. So that's week 5. And then week 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's where we're going to take a look at the definition of mercy. We're going to pick it apart. That's called analyzing. Okay? And then we'll put it all back together, the whole definition. That'd be synthesizing. Okay? But to better understand the whole, you got to look at the parts. That's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on love. We're going to focus on bending down. Focus on one in misery, compassion, and then helping the person out of the misery. There's our definition. Week 11. Mercy is properly said of God. Who said that? How do we know? Okay. And then how do we participate in his mercy? What does that mean? Week 11, week 12. False ideas about mercy, or at least incomplete ideas about mercy. All right. Mercy killing, that's not mercy, all right? That's just an abuse of the word. This would be a really good one. Week 13, mercy and justice. I want to draw particularly from Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis. They talk about that. Okay? Mercy and justice. And then week 14, I'll review. Definitely you're going to want to take a picture of the board. Huh? Here's the masterpiece. And then week 15, the oral exam. And more about that as we get closer to it. So there's our semester, mercy. And by understanding that, we'll be able to begin to understand forgiveness. Okay. I did not grow up with a view of mercy. That was a foreign word to me. That was not part of my vocabulary growing up. I understood justice. Oh, did I understand that, huh? You get what you deserve. You do good, you get rewarded. You do bad, you get punished. I understood that growing up. But I had no concept of mercy. And I've come to see that I'm not alone. This is a universal problem. When I ask people what mercy is, they can't get anywhere close to this definition. Okay? Even in some of these Catholic encyclopedias and other key sources, they don't give you a full definition. They're missing something. Okay? This is the problem. This is the problem. That's why I got to prove that this is the definition. And that's where these languages are going to be very helpful. Okay? You may be like the way I was in high school. I thought it was so stupid to learn Latin. How can anybody be so stupid? Why waste your time learning Latin? I studied German. Not that I'm using that, huh? I studied Spanish. I forgot a lot of that. I could probably do a Spanish mass, but don't ask me to give a Spanish homily. Okay, that to me was more practical. I'll tell you, learning these languages, Latin, even more so Greek, and even more so Hebrew, you don't have to know prepositions and grammar and all this, but to know words, nouns, key words in the Bible, in their original, invaluable to know key Hebrew words in the Old Testament and to know some key Greek words in the Old New Testament when it was, you know, translated from Hebrew in the Old Testament to Greek. To know some key words, that is going to be so helpful. Okay? And in this, for our class, Latin is going to be helpful because of one word. Okay? One word is going to make a huge difference. Okay? So, if you're good at languages, go for it. You'll just go beyond me, because I got a late start. I didn't see the value of these kind of languages until kind of late. Okay, but if you're into languages, go for it. Especially if you want to get into teaching religion. I highly recommend. Okay, this is our shortest class. We're done. Any questions? I'm done. Yes? Okay, think before you speak, right? That's been a problem. Think before you speak. Okay, anybody else? Moms, anything to add? We're good? Sit down. Sit down. Okay, we got to pray. We didn't pray, so you can't leave, right? We begin class with prayer, we end class with prayer. Yes?
Do we throw chairs away?
Do you what?
Throw our chairs away.
Good. Now that's a good question. I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. Do you see a lot of people out there? A few people? Okay. I would say, yeah, put the chairs away. Put the chairs away. I'm not sure I'm going to have a second class. I don't know who's going to show up. Okay. There may be a second class for adults. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out.
What's going to be the dress code for class?
Just dress normal, okay? Don't be dressing weird, okay? You can do that in your own room, but don't do that in public, yes?
Can I wear shorts? Khaki shorts?
It's up to your mom.
Okay.
Why would you want to wear shorts?
Because I have like school right after this and I have to wear shorts.
See, what you can do, especially when it gets cooler, you can have your shorts on, and then over them you can have your long pants. I've done that kind of thing. And you just take your long pants off, but you're ready to go. It's not a big deal. Okay, anything else? Yes?
Yeah, Father Mark has a certain dress code.
Does he?
Yeah. Says he doesn't really care except no shorts and no jeans.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a problem, has it, right? That's why I haven't. I generally don't have time for rules. I just want to get down to business and teach. And besides, your homeschoolers, you have common sense, right? So we don't have to do... rules are for people that don't have common sense. Yes?
There's one lady who would like to be in the adult class. Will you be having that
today? I'm going to find out. If it's less than 12, forget it. But if there's 12 or more, we'll have class. See, that's another reason for the podcast. So if these three or four adults that wanted to have the class can have the class, then they can go to the podcast. Did you have anything to say?
Can I give one announcement?
Yes.
This is for...
Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Alma Sendejas. I'm the Safe Environment Coordinator for San Segundo. For those of you that don't know what the Virtues Program is, it's an awareness program that was implemented by the Diocese of San Segundo about 8 years ago. So for all those that have kids here at San Segundo, because you are on church grounds, there's a couple of forms that I need you to sign, and all this is just to try to keep your kids safe. So that's it, Bob.
To get the diocese off our back.
I'm sorry?
To get the diocese off our back.
Yeah.
We went from one extreme to now we're in the other extreme. And, you know, it takes a while to balance. It's just, that's how life is. It happens a lot.
I'm sorry.
Do you have forms with you today? Or
yes, I have the forms outside for the parents.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Okay, this is good. This is good. Anything else? Let's stand and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our academic year, especially, particularly this class, to better know our faith, better know mercy, so that we can better know you, who are merciful, the God of mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want.
So you were saying that they can use like a different word. Is it okay to move it around twice in case love bending down with compassion to one in misery, or does it have to be exactly the same?
That's fine, but it's just that when you see the person in misery, then the response is compassion.
Right, but this is why I would move this one. I mean, there's another way I would say, because this one refers to that person rather than you're bending down to the one in misery who has the compassion. It flows better, but if you wanted it memorized that way, that's
see,
fine.
Mercy comes, the misery comes first, and then the reason. The feeling comes second.
Okay, so you want it in this way.
That's how I'm seeing it. But so you're saying...
Well, I was thinking, like, because this has to do with a person who's reaching down with compassion to the one in misery, but I see where you're coming from, where you see the misery and how you respond with that.
Yeah, you... Yeah, I think I want to keep it the way it is.
Okay.
Thank you for... I know it's not probably grammatically correct, but it's just how I want to think.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you wouldn't mind, keep reading Matthew, certainly all the people on the East Coast, but Rudy's expecting Category 5 hurricane to go through. He says that there's another one right after that, and there's several tropical storms that can develop into hurricanes as well.
It's supposed to be the worst.
Yeah, and he just accepted a job in Vero Beach. So he moved to Mojave this past week. The family he's supposed to be staying with is already back in the village. He's gone to a shelter. He was helping the parish and whatnot with some of the families that in the houses. He can't get out. So, he's not sure what's going to happen there. And then Matthew and Sam and their baby are due. She's due at the end of October. And they're in near Charleston, South Carolina. So we will be gone all of November. So I know you'll be, Thanksgiving we're off, but we will miss the other three Thursdays because of that.